Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Our text for this morning's short meditation is found recorded in Mark, the 4th chapter, and it begins with about the 35th verse. And on that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go over to the other side." And leaving the multitude, they took him along with them, just as he was in a boat, and other boats were with him. And there rose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. And he himself was in the stern asleep on the cushion. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And being aroused, he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Hush, be still." And the wind died down, and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so timid? How is it that you have no faith?" And they became very much afraid and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Dear Christian friends, have you ever put yourself in that situation that the disciples were in? A situation of danger, turmoil, really threatening. Something that could wipe you out literally. Have you ever had the situation occur to you where you felt, God is with me, God walks with me, God is concerned about me, and all of a sudden, seemingly, the bottom falls out, and your first impulse is to say, "God, do you really care? And if you care, why would you let this happen to me?" I find it interesting that in the same chapter, Jesus Christ had given the parable of the sower. And if you recall that, he talks about the different kinds of turf, or should I say soil, that he can fall on and take growth, and what happens to it. A thought occurred to me, and I wondered whether or not Christ was trying to let them know that what he explained to them in parables, what he had said about people being in different levels, they too had to deal with personally. That they too could be like those who are strong in the faith one time and seemingly not too strong another time. Now, to get the right answer, you must ask your exegetes. I'm just saying what I came upon as I pondered the text. I'm not saying the text said it to me, but it's more or less a thought. But what the text does say, that is very, very clear to me, that in the face of danger, when Christ was with his people, he went to sleep, and it may have appeared that he didn't care. And there's the danger. The boat's filling up. It's going to sink. And they use a very nice term in Mark that the other Gospels don't use. "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" You ever said that yourself? "God, don't you care about me?" You ever feel that kind of harshness, that kind of abruptness? Not, "God, come on now, I know you're going to help me." You say, "Hey, wait, this is a pit. You really don't care, Lord. You really let this fall apart." And you might add to that, "After all I put into this, after all I've done for you, Lord, I followed you, I did this, that, and the other, and you still let this thing fall apart. And to top it all, you sleep. You're asleep." Sometimes, in quotes, God plays tricks. We normally say he tests our faith. Remember the passage in the Old Testament, "He that watches over Israel slumbers not nor sleeps"? Should any believer know, in believing in God, that he is not one who deserts his people? There are myriad promises to that effect. But when the chips are down, when it appears right in front of you that you're going down fast, you might take the disciples' attitude, "Don't you care, Lord?" In essence, "How can you sleep at a time like this? Almost, how dare you sleep at a time like this? I'm in trouble, I'm hurting." But they did one thing right. They went to the right source. They knew something about Christ. They knew if you're in trouble, you don't simply panic and say, that's the ball game. You go to Jesus Christ about it. You take it to him. Even if in our own humanness, it means waking him up. He's never asleep anyway. But that time, physically, he was asleep, but not out of touch. What a test of faith. What a way to make us manifest the Christ in us to God and to our fellow men, to go to Christ and say, help me, we're really wiped out. I haven't got anything left, if I ever had, to make this thing go. You've got to do it for me. It's almost like Peter walking on the water when he fell in. You know why he fell in. Christ could have left him there, but didn't. He said, come on out. Took him back to the boat. Jesus is there as one who cares, loves, sustains, and saves. Our Lord is one who is incomprehensible, but one thing our faith tells us about him, he loves us, and he loves us dearly. Even when we don't act loving towards him, he is always one who loves us. Even when it appears to us that he's, quote, out to lunch or asleep, he's not. And what did he do? He got up and did something that really astounded them. Now, they knew he was the one to go to for help, but they hadn't seen him do all of those things. And he said, be still, hush, stop all this nonsense. And everything, the wind, the waves, stopped. Now, if any of you had a trip to the south in the past week or so or out in California, which you probably wouldn't want to be, and you saw those waves hitting those shores and knocking houses into the lake and ocean, rather, not lake, destroying things. And if you saw anybody say, be still, and it stopped like that, you're going to stop too. You're going to wonder, what kind of power is that? You're going to say, that's not a coincidence. The meteorologist will say, we just had this big storm coming across, and all of a sudden it's gone. The blip, the whole cloud vanished. We don't know what happened. We can't explain our weather forecast, folks. It was supposed to be bad, but it cleared up. We're not angry, but I'm sorry about the umbrellas. When God does his thing, it doesn't always have to be as miraculous as saying, be still, to the wind and waves. But it's always something miraculous going on from God to us. When we wake up every day and we still can pray to him and say, Lord, I thank you we got through the night, and also can say, with the eyes of faith and with the mouth of faith, and understand what it means to fear not. And also can understand what the writer of the New Testament meant when he said, Paul, that the one mark of a Christian is the spirit and the flesh are always warring against each other. They always struggle. They fight. And like the disciples, you have good days and bad days. But Jesus says, I'm there for both of them. I'll take care of you no matter what kind of day you're having. I'll see you through the tempest of life. No matter what they are. You conjure up in your own mind what a stormy weather for you. Remember, Christ can say to your storm, be still. And it goes away. He has that way. He has that power. He does it all the time. Many of us can recall, if we had to, many times he's already done it. So just as they were astounded and amazed, what manner of man is this? We should never lose the amazement and awesomeness that God is God, and God became man, and God loved us so much that he did everything for us and still does. And says in this very day, last day of January, don't fear, I'm with you. And looks around and sees your troublesome lives and says, be still, I can take care of that. I can take care of that. Can you identify with that? And we see the God of Scripture, the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as one who is so magnificent, so loving, so caring, that in Christ all things are possible. And he makes that plain to us, that we don't have to worry about stormy days. And if we think Christ is asleep, we can rest assured he isn't. He isn't really asleep. He's concerned. He delivers. He delivers. May it please Almighty God that as we go through Epiphany and on through Lent, that we will remember the magnitude and greatness of our God, the love he has for us, and how he sustains us through his power. May we show our dependency on him every day of our lives, now and forevermore. Amen.